from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Merzenbaum. Later in the hour, we'll discuss what Missourians should know about the launch of sports betting on December 1st, including where the revenue from what's expected to be a deluge of wagering will go. We'll also get an update on the wild case around St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery and whether the citywide official's days in office could be numbered. But first, St. Louis County officials are grappling with a major budgetary hole, one that includes a roughly $20 million deficit for the county's health department fund. And while there's enough money from budgetary reserves and NFL settlement funds to muddle through this year, policymakers will have to find more revenue and make significant reductions in spending to prevent a budgetary calamity in the next couple of years. During the last episode of the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air, Council Chairwoman Rita Days raised the prospect of shuttering the county's federally qualified health center lookalikes. Those North and South St. Louis County-based clinics provide a variety of healthcare services, particularly to working low-income residents.
It's a nice thing to have. We have three centers. We have two in my district, actually two health centers, and we have one in South. And it's a good thing to do if you can afford to do it. But at this particular juncture, I don't think we can afford it.
Days also said earlier this month that the council is not interested in spending $20 million from the Rams Settlement Fund to bolster the county's animal shelter, which has been facing overcrowding in recent months. Days' comments caught the attention of St. Louis County Health Director Kanika Cunningham, whose agency oversees the county's healthcare clinics and the animal shelter. I spoke with her yesterday about the council's criticism of her department and why she believes that investing additional funds in the county animal shelter is worthwhile. I started off by asking Cunningham to respond to Councilwoman Days' comments about how the budgetary problems in the county could require policymakers to shut down the county's healthcare clinics.
My initial response to it, honestly, I mean, this is not a time to discuss closing access to healthcare. The health department, we are a partner in the ecosystem of healthcare in St. Louis County and the region. And given what has taken place on the federal level, we cannot close our doors to the most vulnerable in St. Louis County.
For those who don't know, what are FQHC lookalike clinics and what sort of healthcare services do they provide to St. Louis County residents?
Right. So I think this is where some of the confusion is coming in at. So the health department historically has operated three health centers, and we provide all of the services from primary care service like pediatrics, internal medicine, family medicine, OBGYN care as well, in addition to behavioral mental health care. The purpose of getting the FQHC lookalike status is actually to help sustain it from a financial standpoint. So a lookalike, what that does, it allows for us to get enhanced reimbursements from your insurance payers. So it's one way to guarantee increased revenue and to sustain the life of the health centers. So we're already doing the work of a FQHC lookalike, and we needed to work with the federal government in order to receive an official designation. So I think that's where the confusion. You know, people say that, well, not people, some, you know, I've heard comments about, you know, this is just something that they're doing, it's a program, but this is the care we have provided to St. Louis County and even to some of our partners for some time. Just now, we're being viewed as a lookalike, and the federal government would now allow us the opportunity to get higher reimbursements for Medicare and Medicaid patients.
And just, again, for people who may not understand who's going to these clinics? Mm-hmm. Who are the type of people who are getting these services? Is it Medicaid recipients, the working poor? Is it a pretty varied group of folks?
All of the above. We have majority of our patients are Medicaid, Medicare, so about 85% of the patients. We do have two clinics in North County, one in South County, but we see anywhere from private payers all the way down to someone who no longer have insurance. So we do have a sliding scale program just based on your income. So we see everyone.
Do you know how much it costs to operate these three clinics every year?
So if we look at the history, and I'm glad you're asking me this. So the health fund, which is the 1030 fund, is funded by property taxes from St. Louis County. So county taxpayers actually fund the health centers, and that has been in existence since before my time. We're talking about 30, 40 years ago. And what we have seen, and especially during a pandemic, a lot of the resources shifted to the public health side. And we saw that when I started, I saw that the clinics were neglected. But if you look at going back to the most I can go back to is 2014, that when we look at the revenue generated by the clinics, it's a small amount. And I get it, it's a chartered requirement. But in 2023, when I came, I saw that I'm from an FQHC, that we had a significant opportunity to improve our billing and our coding. So that's one thing that I focus on. And one is getting the FQHC lookalike. So if someone look at the revenue, I'm going to break this down.
Sure.
2014, barely making it any revenue. It was, 1030 fund, which is property tax funded. That's what support the health centers. So in 2023, we were able to renegotiate some of the contracts. And that is the first time in 10 years that we actually generated $2.4 million in revenue from billing and collections, which is a big deal. So that is one of my concerns, is that I am turning this tide, and I don't think for the people that we serve and the people of St. Louis County that you can't fix a 20 or 30 year problem in 2 years, but I'm showing you the data in which in a matter of 2 years, I am increasing the revenue so that we don't have to rely as much on the 1030 health fund, which is funded by the property tax.
So just to make sure I understand you, right now it's not costing the county money, it's actually bringing in, by it I mean FQHC lookalikes, they're bringing in $2.4 million.
Right. They're bringing in, but it is, I wouldn't say cost in the county. There is, I guess you can say that, there is, the health fund supports it about anywhere from 10 to 12 million. That's how much is supported with the health fund. And then the overall budget is 20 million. But if you look at the revenue, when we think about budget perspective, you want to generate a higher revenue than what you're supporting. And so in theory, the FQHC with a higher reimbursement, we will start to bring in more revenue and less reliance on the health fund.
Is St. Louis County the only county in the state that have these types of clinics?
Yeah, we are. We are the only health department that operate three health centers, and then we also provide the medical care at the jail. And I think people often forget about those medical services, but that's sit under health department as well.
So I understand everything that you're saying, and these are clearly beneficial mm-hmm. services for people. But I could also see the perspective of policymakers in St. Louis County who are looking at a really bad budget deficit mm-hmm. over the next couple of years, and they're thinking, it's great that we have these clinics, but if we can't afford them long term, what good are they going to be if you can't pay for them? So what do you kind of make of that argument? Because I mm-hmm. think you may be able to muddle through this year with like reserves and RAMS funds. But in a couple of years, when there's no reserves left,
then what?
Then what, basically?
Yeah. So I want to answer your question in two ways. One, I kind of spoke to what I'm doing to increase revenue for the clinics. That is a proven track record of becoming a lookalike and increasing revenue. But I think on the other end, it speaks to values. And historically, the people of St. Louis County have always voted to support public health and maintaining access to health care. So I think it comes down to, do we care about the constituents of St. Louis County to where we will continue to maintain access to health care? Or is it truly, it's all about money and we don't care about the people? Because what's going to happen if our clinics close? Our partners can't absorb the number of patients that we have. Hospitals are not designed for preventive care. Urgent cares are not designed for preventive care. And if you look at, we still have healthcare deserts in North County, in parts of South County, and that's where the health department come in at. And so if you close us out in North County, where are people going to go who don't have insurance, who are the most vulnerable? So I think that's the real question is, closing our clinics is going to strain the system, and individuals won't be able to have access to care.
Are there not FQHCs in St. Louis County that are not run by a governmental agency?
Correct. We are the only governmental ran FQHC in the county as well as the city. And there are a few FQHCs who are now, setting up shop in parts of the county, but they have their own patient population. And it goes back to when we submitted the application, you tell the federal government, look, this is the number of patients that we will be responsible for. The federal government also looks at the other FQHCs in the area to see, okay, they're taking care of these patients. It's a circle. It's a network. So if you pull one piece of the network away, the other partners can't absorb those patients. And so that's why I'm saying that it's now we're going to be viewed as the other FQHCs. But when we look at true desert areas in our most vulnerable locations, we don't have access to too many healthcare centers. And we can't rely on hospitals. We can't rely on urgent care centers. Primary care serves a purpose, and that purpose is to improve the health and well-being on the individual level.
Well, let's go back to the realities of the budget deficit. So let's just say there are no cuts or shuttering of these FQHC lookalikes. If we're still in a bad budgetary situation a couple years from now, and the council and the county executive say, you have to cut something from the health department, what would it be if not these clinics right now?
Yeah, and those are actual discussions that my director colleagues, all of us have been having since the beginning of this year, given, you know, the budget deficit. And for a health department, it's difficult because we are required by state statute or federal requirements or chartered to provide the services that we offer. One thing that's unique about the health department is that we serve all of St. Louis County, not just unincorporated. So going and eating at a restaurant and making sure that it's free of disease, or staying at a hotel that's free of disease, that's the health department. So it really comes down to truly, where are our values? Do we care about the health and well-being of the people? Because a poor workforce, we're not going to be able to get our roads clean. We're not going to be able to maintain the parks because we're not going to have a healthy workforce.
Is it possible for you to like raise fees or put like co-pays in some of these clinics to try and make up for the deficit? Are you constrained by that, either by state or federal regulations?
So no. So we've actually increased our sliding scale that was outdated when I came. We are also revisiting our fees as well throughout the entire department. So that is one angle that I do believe that can help, because if you look at our revenues over the last few years, revenue kind of slightly increased. And so right now, where are opportunities to increase revenues? And there are some throughout the department. And so I think for us, instead of cutting, let's look at those other opportunities to help generate the revenue. And the one thing too, Jason, I want to bring up, I think a lot of people may not be aware, but the health fund was actually a pretty wealthy fund in the early 2000s. So it's been twice since the county council has voted to move money from the health fund to support the general revenue fund or the parks fund. So we have to also understand that we're operating on a reality in which money was removed from the health fund years ago. And so here we are, we're in a situation where we have so many complexities, and then you have a pandemic, and then you have federal changes taking place now to Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act. Individuals are going to lose access to care. And as a health department, I strongly feel like it is our governmental responsibility and our chartered responsibility to make sure we maintain access to care, whether it's a hybrid model of contracted services or through direct county employees.
Let's talk about a couple of ways to raise revenues. Mm-hmm. The county executive has talked about a use tax. I don't know if that would all go to the general fund or whether some could go to the health fund, but would that help with the budget deficit? Which, by the way, I don't think we've mentioned it. Isn't it around $20 million right now? Or is that?
It is. That's for the health department, but for county government, it's like $80 million.
Total, if you include $60 million from the general and $20 million from the health fund. But how would the use tax help with the budget situation?
So it would be a great help. With the use tax, we're talking about generating additional $45 to $75 million. One thing we do know, you know, during a pandemic, a lot of people did pivot and start doing a lot of online shopping. A lot of people my generation, we shop online. So I think that is one missed opportunity if, you know, the county council does not consider an online use tax. I think that would definitely help. So I do agree with the online use tax and putting it on a ballot.
Is it possible to just have a property tax increase ballot measure just for the health fund? Or would it have to be like, I know for when you pay property taxes, a specific amount goes to county governmental services. And I don't know if you put a tax increase in terms of the property tax, whether it would increase all the funds, but is that a possibility, given that I don't think it would be that big of a tax increase if it's just for one of the funds as opposed to all of them?
Right. And, you know, and I do recall discussions around, you know, the last time property taxes were increased was maybe like 80s or 90s.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And so I do think that's another opportunity. And the health fund, there is a certain percentage from property taxes that go to the health fund. So it would definitely help the health fund, the general revenue fund, in addition to placing an online sales tax. I think all of the above would definitely help.
We're talking with Dr. Kanika Cunningham, the director of the St. Louis County Department of Health. I want to move on to the St. Louis County Animal Shelter, which has garnered a lot of controversy and public interest over the past few months for a litany of reasons. Very simply, what do you think the state of the St. Louis County Animal Shelter is at this moment in time?
You know, this is the first time that, and this is my opinion, that we are actually being received and welcomed into the animal welfare community. You know, there's been a lot of controversy in the media, you know, when we resumed operations early this year. And where we are now, I believe this is the best we've ever been when it comes to truly providing animal support services.
I do want to mention the council has passed a resolution saying that they have no confidence in the leadership of the animal shelter. Chairwoman Day said, the vote is a message to Dr. Cunningham. I'm hopeful that she'll see that and she'll rectify some of the things that have happened under her watch. Is it clear to you exactly what she wants you to rectify? Because if I got a vote of no confidence from somebody, I feel pretty sad.
Yeah, so I would say I am hopeful and I am very confident in this statement that I do believe that our staff, our volunteers, and our community partners fully support the animal shelter. And I think this was isolated to the county council. And when that was released, I was in the middle of trying to prevent a human crisis, because when you have a human crisis, you have an animal crisis. And what I mean by that is, you know, I'm trying to identify ways that people who are on SNAP can get access to food, and our, you know, moms and babies can get access to formula or critical baby essential products. And so, you know, I think right now it happened. I would say let's move forward together if we can. And again, I welcome them to come and visit the shelter, but I think that was isolated to the county council, and I don't think anyone else would agree with that statement.
The county executive wants to spend $20 million in the St. Louis Rams settlement funds for the animal shelter. Now, before we talk about why that may or may not happen, what would that money be used for?
Yeah, so with that proposal, so the animal shelter going through this process with, you know, failing to do inspections that took place. And if you look at what the inspection reports say, that the most concerning thing is that we don't have humane housing for all the animals that we bring in. So this animal shelter, I think we've been over there for at least 10 years or so, and the intake has significantly grown compared to when we first moved in there. Now, I do believe if with the right tools, we can make this work. But the right tools mean that I need county council support to make sure our ordinances are aligning with true animal support services. And the rest of this, I can do with my team. I think that's the biggest thing, that the ordinances are often deemed as barriers to providing care.
Like what ordinances, for example?
Yeah. So one of the ordinances, I would say the, you know, increasing the adoption fee to $80. And I expressed concern with that. I thought that was a very steep jump. I was comfortable with going up to $60. But what we do know with the literature is that when you reduce or waive fees, and if the goal is to get animals into loving homes as quickly as possible, a higher adoption fee can be viewed as a barrier. Now, some people may say, well, that can just increase the chance of somebody just, you know, not caring and just adopting an animal for dog fights, or they don't really care about the animal. That is not true. There's so many studies that have pretty much shown that that was a myth. And there's so many local places here that do the same thing, that once you get a capacity, it's proven that if you reduce or lower fees, you can get animals into loving homes. And here's my concern with the $80, because we have to continue to bring in animals. If we look at the cost of care for the number of animals that is in our care, staff time, food, bathing, grooming, everything else, if we have 170 or 180 animals in our care, on average, that's about $115,000 that's going to direct care. So why put a barrier in place to to where now we're housing animals long term. Our average length of stay is 32 days, and that's long. Recommended is less than 14 days. And we put this barrier in place, then now we're going to potentially end up keeping animals longer and longer, and it's going to cost the county more money.
I think when you ask county council members why they unanimously overrode the county executive's veto on raising it from $40 to $80, is they just say it goes hand in hand with the county needs more revenue. Do you know, or can you predict how much revenue the county would get if they raised it from $40 to $80?
That's a great question. I'll have to look at that, because we'll have to look at the revenue, but we'll also need to look at the expenses going out. And I think that's where my argument is that the cost to run the animal shelter with the number of animals we have, that going to $60 or increasing to $80, that's not going to be a significant revenue generator. It's going to be a barrier, and we're going to end up keeping animals long term and increasing our cost of care.
Going back to the $20 million for the animal shelter, Councilwoman Days has said that the council is not wild about the idea of putting money from the Ram settlement toward the shelter, because in her view, it doesn't really solve the problem of the shelter having too many animals. She said, and I'm paraphrasing here, if the shelter expands to house 300 more animals and 300 more animals arrive, would the county then need to expand the shelter more? And to her, that's not a one-time expense, basically, because, and the Rams money ideally should be going toward one-time expenses, though I'm aware that it's probably going to be used to fill some of this budget gap. So what's your thought about that? Because I think that's a reasonable point, that this may not solve the overcrowding problem if you just expand the facility and then it gets full again.
Right. So the overcrowding is a serious problem. And one of the things that was on the inspection report is we bring in a lot of large dogs, and we don't have enough kennel space to house the large dogs. So I think we have some infrastructure issues. Additionally, our plumbing system. Currently, we need to update the entire plumbing system at the animal shelter. We need to update the HVAC system. So there are a lot of structural updates that have to take place. And so the alternative will be, I'm actually okay if we're not going to get a new building, then at minimum, we need the money to invest in the animal shelter so that we can improve just the basic living conditions at the shelter. And the reason that's important is because if you look at the past inspection reports, that is one thing that multiple items that we continue to get cited on is because of inhumane housing. So we need to replace kennels, get new kennel size in there. And again, there's just some infrastructure problems that we need to fix with it.
In a past appearance on St. Louis on the Air, you expressed hope that the county council would update ordinances relating to shelter operations. And we've talked about the $40 to $80, mm-hmm. which you were not a fan of. But one of the things I think you were more in favor of would be allowing the shelter director to waive or reduce adoption fees, and a provision that would allow the shelter to accept gifts, grants, and donations that total more than $1,000. That latter was dropped by the council. Why do you think that these proposals would help lower shelter population numbers?
So with the donations, the legislative process that if we accept donations above X amount, and it was above $1,000, before you can use a donation, you have to go through the legislative process. So it could take anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, or even up to 8 weeks to be able to use it. We have a lot of people donating to us, donating money to purchase food, to purchase pop-up kennels, to support the foster program. And so if we cannot have access to the funds until 8 weeks later, that's a barrier. And right now we're trying to expand our foster program, so therefore we can get animals out of the shelter into foster homes, another proven strategy that can work. So that was the problem with that. It's just the lengthy legislative process that we can't immediately use the funds until after it's approved by the county council.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I do. This is a tough time that we're in now, and I do understand that some decisions will have to be made. Of course, as a physician, as the health department director, I'm going to always advocate for health, and I'm always going to always advocate not to cut anything related to health, but I do understand some of those decisions will have to be. I really want the people of St. Louis County to understand the situation that we're in, definitely with the budget, but then also with these federal changes coming down the line. And I think that is what keeps me up at night, is that there are going to be things that's outside of county government control that's going to force health departments and healthcare entities to face. And this is just the wrong time to talk about closing a healthcare, any healthcare entity, especially in North County. So and again, the people of St. Louis County have always voted to support health, supported public health. And I truly think the people, the voices of the people need to be heard. I do see people, the volunteers on the animal shelter side, they are making their voices heard. I do need the support of the county council, but I hope that we can meet and come to a common ground. And I really hope that I can show them this is the plan I have in place, that give me a few years, I can turn this around. But again, I can't fix a 20-year problem that was not mine, but I am here for it. I'm here for the fight. I am here to try to find solutions.
That was St. Louis County Health Department Director Kanika Cunningham talking with me earlier this week from her office in Berkeley. You can listen to our conversation with Councilwoman Days from the last Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air by going to stlpr.org or wherever you find your St. Louis on the Air podcasts.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.